Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today is arguably the most Lutheran Sunday of the year, so I thought a little Lutheran humor might be in order. You might be a Lutheran if. You might be a Lutheran if the meeting just isn't legitimate unless it's at least 3 hours long. You might be a Lutheran if the church is on fire and you rush in to save the coffee pot. You might be a Lutheran if you hear something funny in church and you smile as loudly as you can. You might be a Lutheran if you're at home watching Star Wars, and when they say, "May the fourth force be with you," you say, "And also with you." You might be a Lutheran if the first two operating rules of your congregation are, "Don't change and don't spend." You might be a Lutheran if the sharing of the peace lasts longer than the sermon. Happens here all the time. You might be a Lutheran if you believe in prayer but would just die if somebody asked you to pray in public. I like this one. You might be a Lutheran if your house is a mess because you're saved by grace and not of works. Today we celebrate two anniversaries. Both of those anniversaries happen this coming Wednesday on October 31st. The first is perhaps a little more important than the second. The first one is Wednesday will be the 501st anniversary of Martin Luther's nailing his 95 theses to the wall on the church at Wittenberg. The second anniversary is perhaps a little less important. It's the anniversary of my retirement from chiropractic 5 years ago, just 1% of that 500. Little did I know what the future held for me that day I gathered my things and walked out of the clinic for the last time. But then neither did Martin Luther have any idea what the future held for him either. His intent was simply to generate some discussion and see if he couldn't correct the church's approach to a lot of things that he seemed to think were not part of Scripture. He was particularly opposed to the sale of indulgences. But what happened over the next half century or so changed his life, changed the Catholic Church, actually changed the world. His Reformation was based upon three fundamental principles. We refer to those now as the Lutheran solas. Sola means alone. Those three principles are sola scriptura, scripture alone, sola fide, faith alone, sola gratia, grace alone. As I considered those, it occurred to me that we do a lot of scripture alone kinds of things. We believe that scripture is indeed the inspired and inerrant word of God, that scripture alone is the source by which we live our lives, and it's a reference point for everything that we do. It is our doctrine that we follow. And in faith alone, we believe that Christ died on the cross for our sins. And we believe that because of that faith, works flow out of us because that's what God wants us to do. And because we do those good works, then we are part of God's right hand. But it is not those works that gets us to heaven. It is through God's word, through baptism and the Lord's Supper, that our faith is created and sustained and grow. And by grace alone, we believe that our salvation comes as a free gift of God, And that grace is not dependent on anything that we do or anything that we say. Grace is a gift from God, pure and simple. And we might add one more sola to that. Some people do. Sola Christo. Through Christ alone, all of this happens. You see, other religions think about what humans have to do to please God. That's part of their focus, that they have to please God so that they can be, they can impress God so that God will love them and take them to heaven. Christianity is the only religion that points to Christ as the source of our salvation, that there's nothing that we can do ourselves. It's only Christianity that says we are saved by grace through faith and not of works that we do. And so as I thought about these three solas, it occurs to me that we talk a lot about faith. I remember preaching about faith several times this year. We've talked about how strong our faith is, or how we'd like to have it stronger, or we complain about how weak our faith might be. We talked about how to measure the relative strength of our faith, or how we might prove that we believe to others. And regarding Scripture, well, we hear Scripture each Sunday read. We hear Scripture and we study Scripture in the Bible class on Sunday mornings. And I hopefully know that you read a couple of verses at least in your home each day. But we talk a lot about grace. But I don't know that we really have a good understanding of it. I've heard people say lots of times when they look at someone walking down the street who's perhaps homeless or someone who has some sort of obvious challenge in this life, "There but for the grace of God go I." Does that mean that that person has less grace than you do? Does it mean that one person has a lot of grace and somebody else has none? Is the fact that somebody doesn't appear to have grace, does that mean God is punishing them? Or that God is angry with them? So today I'd like to take a closer look at that word grace. What does God's grace mean to you? One simple definition that I've heard, and I like it because it's very brief and very succinct. Grace is the undeserved and unearned love and favor of God. We would all acknowledge that we are broken and sinful children, but because of God's grace, we don't get what we deserve. Because of God's grace, He has mercy on us, and so we don't get what we do actually deserve. Simply put, God's grace is explained in John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." Because of God's grace, we have that faith, and that gives us life eternal. Regarding God's grace, in his small catechism, Luther asks this question: how is it possible for a just and holy God to declare sinners to be justified? Let's look at that word justified. It's one of those words that Lutherans use a lot, and I'm not sure we understand it well. If you take that word justified, if you take it apart in syllables, you have "just as if I'd never sinned." Luther goes on to quote our epistle lesson for today in Romans chapter 3. "For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified, made just as if I'd never sinned, by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." And then Luther goes on, God declares sinners righteous. Someone who's righteous is made just and holy. God declares sinners to be made just and holy for Christ's sake. That is, our sins have been charged to Christ, the Savior, and Christ's righteousness has been credited to us. And I would add, as a gift. It's as if you have a checking account that is overdrawn by $1 million. Jesus has a checking account that has a balance of $1 billion. In that grace, in that gift that we receive from God, you get Jesus' checking account with $1 billion, and he willingly takes your checking account that is overdrawn by $1 million upon himself. And then he pays the bill. Theologians call that the doctrine of justification by grace. Because of God's love and favor, because of his grace, all of our sins, no matter how wicked they might seem, are forgiven by God because Christ has taken responsibility for them when he dies on the cross. In John 15, we read, "Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends." Those are the words that Jesus spoke. God loved us so much that he sent his Son so that we might have eternal life. Jesus loved us so much that he was willing to go to that cross for us so that we might live eternally with him in heaven. And all of that is a free gift of grace. In that process, we are made absolutely righteous. We are made perfectly just and holy according to God's standards, a God who is ultimately purely just and holy. And each time we ask for forgiveness, we receive that grace. We receive that grace. We receive that undeserved and unearned love and favor of God. We receive it first at our baptism. And we receive it each time we come to this altar to receive Christ's body and blood. So let me close with a prayer that I think covers what I have had to say. Let us pray. Lord, we know you are merciful. We've been taught that you provide grace and mercy in spite of our behavior and in spite of our sins. You are a good God that comes to those who need you, no matter what. We need you now in our lives more than ever. We know that we are not perfect. We know that our sins are not hidden from you. We know that at times we sin knowing it's a sin. We are human, Lord, and while that's no excuse, we know you love us despite of our human nature. Lord, grant us your grace. Amen. Now may the peace that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds by grace through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.